Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk, your host for this conversation. And today we are delighted to interview our first gentleman. Now, as iVow continues to interview more women, we know that many of them partner with men, and we want to hear their voices too. We couldn't be more delighted that our first male guest is the Sheriff of San Diego, Bill Gore. Bill, and or Sheriff Gore, as I should call you, welcome to our conversation.
Thanks, Jenny. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've been in law enforcement for some 46 years now. I'd love you to go back and tell us how and why you were drawn to this profession.
Well, I'm born and raised in San Diego and grew up in a law enforcement family. My dad was on the San Diego Police Department for 33 years. My older brother was a San Diego policeman. My middle brother was a San Diego County Sheriff. So the three of us boys grew up listening to cop talk. That was the conversations around the dinner table every night. Mm-hmm. And I always remember my dad saying, you know, you're never going to be rich, but there's good job security. And he says, I still enjoy going to work. And he enjoyed that after 33 years. He still enjoyed going to work. And he went from being a patrol officer to the number two man on the San Diego Police Department. My older brother followed my dad's footsteps. My middle brother and my dad said, you're not going to become a cop. You're going to college. I went to college. In fact, I was accepted to law school, but the Vietnam War was running rampant at the time in 1969, and law school wasn't affirmed with the draft, so I went to the Navy, came out of the Navy, and I was really tired of school, because that's what I did in the Navy. I had flight training and tired of a classroom. So it just so happened that the FBI was hiring 1,000 new agents. This was 1970, mm-hmm. affectionately known as Nixon's 1,000. Richard Nixon was the president. So I didn't tell my dad, because he wanted me to go back to law school. Last mm-hmm. thing he wanted me to do was be a cop or anything in law enforcement. But I applied while I was in Pensacola, Florida, and within a matter of a couple of months, I was joining the FBI mm-hmm. back in December, Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1970.
December 7th, yes.
My dad was not real happy with me, I will say, and he wanted me to go back to college, go to law school. I said, well, actually, Dad, it's your fault. You're the one that made the career sound so exciting, so rewarding, and I can't imagine a job that's more fulfilling where you still, after you did it for 33 years, still enjoy going to work every day. I can honestly say at 46 years, I still enjoy going to work every day.
That's such good news.
It's very fortunate. Mm-hmm. I feel blessed.
Well, that's great. So a convoluted route to get to where you are. And you were first appointed to as sheriff in San Diego in 2009. Okay. I was going to say 10. I'm glad that you corrected me and still enjoy going to work every day.
I retired from the FBI.
Yes.
Traveled all over the country. I have 9 moves in 27 years. It took me 27 years to get back to San Diego, and I came back here in 1997 and led this office as the agent in charge for 6 years. And when I retired, I went to work for the newly elected district attorney, Bonnie Dumanis.
Bonnie Dumanis, yes.
And in fact, it's interesting because I had campaigned and supported her opponent, Paul Pfingst. Because Paul had offered me a job at the district attorney's office because he knew I was getting close to retirement in the FBI. And when he lost, Bonnie called me and said, I understand you and Paul had talked about maybe coming to work in the district attorney's office. Would you want to talk to me? I said, sure. So we had a 3-hour breakfast, and she made me a better offer, to be quite honest, than Paul had made me. So I worked for Bonnie for a year as a chief of her investigations and as a special advisor. And then Sheriff Bill Colander made me another good offer to come over to the Sheriff's Department, and I did that in 2004 as the Assistant Sheriff in Law Enforcement for 2 years, and I was the Undersheriff for 3.5 years, and then appointed in 2009 as the Sheriff when Sheriff Hollander retired.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. Yeah. And then another woman who you work alongside is the Police Chief, San Diego Police Chief Shelley Zimmerman. So do you feel as though you work for her also, or is this more of a partnership among the three of you?
Well, it's interesting. Bonnie and I have a very healthy argument over who the chief law enforcement officer in the county is.
Yes.
She finally conceded after the last election that I'm the chief law enforcement officer and she's the chief law enforcement official. So we've come to, I think, a sensible agreement on that.
But, yes.
Now, what's so refreshing, and having worked all over the United States, what's so refreshing about working here in San Diego County is that cooperation, that collaboration between the chief, the sheriff, the district attorney, all the chiefs in the county. But it goes so much beyond that. It's not just local law enforcement getting along with each other. It's federal law enforcement. It's state law enforcement. It's the California Highway Patrol, the California Department of Justice, FBI, DEA, ATF. Every one of them And when somebody doesn't come to the table with that attitude, they stand out like a sore thumb, and some of the old-timers take them aside, and it's happened on more than one occasion. And so that's not the way we operate around here. To let artificial boundaries, whether it be a city jurisdiction or a state or federal laws, hamper good law enforcement, shame on us. The bad guys, they don't care if they're operating the city of San Diego or they're robbing a federal bank or they're robbing a state liquor store. They're committing crimes by letting those boundaries, whether they be legal or city boundaries, hamper good law enforcement. The bad guys win and we lose. And that's what's so refreshing about working here. It's like no place I have worked in the United States has that level of cooperation. What you see is we identify crime problems here, issues, whether it be white-collar crime back during the savings and loan catastrophe, drug problems, Mexican cartels, human trafficking, and we approach it from a task force approach where you bring in not only state, federal, and local investigators, but you also bring in federal prosecutors and state prosecutors, the district attorney and the United States attorney to work on this. And the investigation is the investigation. And when you get done with it, everybody working together, you decide, okay, where do we get the best bang for our buck here? Mm-hmm. Is it by prosecuting these three people in a state court and these two over here in a federal court? How do we have the most impact on the crime problem to really eradicate that particular problem? It doesn't happen in other parts of the country like that. I talked to other chiefs and people that grew up in San Diego County law enforcement, and they tend to take what we have here for granted. I said, you got to work in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go much further than maybe a couple of counties up the coast here, and it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And it's not just me recently arriving. I'll take some credit for it because I believe in that philosophy. But it goes back probably 30, 40 years in this county. And it goes back to when Bill Colander was the chief of police of San Diego and John Duffy was the sheriff, and working together and collaborating and being friends. People come from all over the United States to see how we do it. And they walk out shaking their heads. They can't believe we make it work like that.
That's an intriguing story and a wonderful story to know that it's happening in San Diego. Do you think that this is why San Diego is considered and is one of the safest cities and counties in the United States?
No doubt in my mind. No
the collaboration.
It's that collaboration. There's no duplication effort. We're not reinventing the wheel. We all share ideas, steal ideas, whatever the case may be. But there's in San Diego County, we have what we call a chiefs and sheriffs organization. In fact, we meet the first Wednesday of every month. And it's not just sit around and have lunch together. It's a 2 to 3 hour working lunch. And it's all the chiefs, the district attorney, the United States attorney, the highway patrol, the San Diego State College Police, everybody coming together in one room and look at how we can regionalize, whether it's body camera, release of body camera information, whether it's pursuit policies, whether it's officer-involved shooting protocols. We do it in a collaborative effort in a countywide environment. Defense attorneys, people that want to divide law enforcement, they love it when they can say, well, look at this department does it this way, and you do it this way, and you know, are you better? Are they better than you, and why aren't you doing it that way? If a pursuit starts in La Mesa, high-speed chase, and it goes through El Cajon and through up to North County to Oceanside and Carlsbad, it's seamless because we have a protocol for how those pursuits work. And it's the same with an officer-involved shooting. You might have a deputy sheriff get involved in a shooting in the city of San Diego. Who investigates it? Who oversees it? Those things are all worked out in advance, and it just leads to really good law enforcement. That combined with this task force approach to crime.
I like the word seamless because that's how you're describing it. Because I think sometimes I know I misunderstand, and I think maybe some of our listeners do, we're never quite sure at a crime scene who does what. What do the police do? What does the sheriff's department do? I know you've started explaining some of that, but could you tell us some more about that?
Sure. A lot of people ask me, what's the difference between a sheriff and a chief of police?
Yes.
There's a lot of similarity.
Yes.
We're kind of a police department plus
the sheriff is. Okay, okay.
I police for just under 1 million people in San Diego County. I police for all of unincorporated San Diego County, which is about 450,000 people.
Right.
And then there's 9 incorporated cities that choose to enter into a contract with the sheriff's department to provide police services. And those cities are Del Mar, Solana Beach, Encinitas, Vista, San Marcos, Santee, Poway, Lemon Grove, and Imperial Beach. I think I hit them all.
Oh,
I
throw Santee in there. That was a good count.
And there's about 450,000 people. So just under 1 million people I police for. So if you live in one of those areas or live in unincorporated Santa County, you call 911, you're going to get a sheriff's deputy responding. But that's just part of one of our operations. We also run all the jails in San Diego County. We have 7 detention facilities. If you're arrested on a state charge in San Diego County, you're going to go to one of my jails, either the main women's jail out in Santee, Las Linas Detention Facility. Mm-hmm.
And I must say that we're delighted we've had the opportunity to interview inmates and officers there.
It's brand new. It's brand new, state-of-the-art. It's probably the finest, one of the finest, if not the finest, detention facility in the United States, which really allows us, because we started from scratch in the architecture and the building of it, to incorporate our new philosophy of detentions into the architectural design of the facility. So we're allowed to do, it's built to have direct supervision where the deputies are in with the inmates on a daily basis working with them. Incentive-based housing is to where inmates earn their way to less and less supervision, to where hopefully they're out the door. And then it has a lot of programming space, classrooms, so we can try to give these inmates in our custody the skills they need to be successful on the outside, so they're not just committing their crime and rotating right back to our
You're
facilities.
You're reducing recidivism.
Right. So that's our challenge there. But then, so we run all the jails. We have an average daily population of about 6,000 inmates. In addition, we provide security in all the courtrooms in San Diego County. 6 courtrooms in South Bay, North County, Downtown, East County, and we screen about 3 million people a year into our courtrooms, weapons screening, security screening. We provide bailiffs in 165 courtrooms. So those are the 3 operational areas, plus as the chief law enforcement officer, tell Bonnie I said that, as the chief law enforcement officer in the county, we are also responsible for any mutual aid. If there's a fire, floods, earthquakes, disaster, the sheriff acts as the chief law enforcement officer, coordinates all mutual aid within the county, and anything, whether it be National Guard or resources from other areas outside of the county coming into San Diego, would be coordinated and controlled by the sheriff. So it's a big job.
It is.
A lot of moving parts, as I like to say.
Yes,
not boring.
Yes, but it sounds as though you still have that same enthusiasm you had when you came to the role as sheriff in 2009. The other thing I'm also hearing, Sheriff Gore, is that when you talk about the women who are enforcing or leading the police force, and you're talking about the district attorney, Bonnie Dumanis, that seems to be seamless also. I think most of us at some point thought that the law was run by men. And now it seems that that's just no longer the case, and especially here in San Diego.
It certainly was in the past, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. When I came into law enforcement in 1970 in the FBI, there were no female agents in the FBI, none. J. Edgar Hoover died in 1972, and then within a year or two, we started hiring female agents.
Interesting.
I had kind of one-on-one experience. I was happened to be a supervisor of a violent crime squad in Seattle at the time, and we got our first female agent transferred into the Seattle office. And it was an office, we covered the whole state of Washington. We had 7 resident agencies around the state, about 150 agents, and here comes the first female. And to say it was challenging for that female was an understatement. And she did a tremendous job. She paved the way for other women coming after. And when she left 3 years later, transferred out, she was my wife. We got married about a year before that.
Yes.
But she had laid the groundwork, I think, for women to follow her. But she still was the only female agent in the entire state of Washington. We transferred to the Washington field office, and there was about 500 agents there. I went to FBI headquarters, and I think out of the 500, there was probably 6 female agents. My wife, Natalie, had had a great experience in the Seattle office. We had an agent in charge that believed in the concept of a female agent. He assigned her to various squads around the office. I used her every chance he got in special operations. That wasn't the case in Washington field office when she got there. That agent in charge did not like the idea of female agents in the FBI, and all the female agents worked applicant cases. That's all they allowed to work. Gradually, they started working counterintelligence cases, but it took years before he allowed any of them to work any criminal cases. He just thought that wasn't work for a female agent. How times have changed. And for the better.
Yes.
I look at seeing Natalie, my wife's struggles in trying to adjust to really a male-dominated profession. And some agents accept her without question. They thought it was great. And there's some that when we left 3 years later, she never did win over. But in my conversations with her, and I think to anybody, any woman who's considering a career in law enforcement, I think the best advice I gave her, we were hired to be a female agent. Don't try, it's great to get along with everybody, but don't try too hard to be one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You bring certain qualities and traits and dispositions and experiences in your background that the guys don't have, the male agents don't have. You make us a better organization by being you, and don't try to be something else. And you know, certainly you have to be physically fit, and you have to be able to roughhouse with the bad guys, like just like the male agents and the male cops have to do. But you bring, you should be brought very proud. Any female police officer or FBI agent, proud of what the unique traits and qualities you bring to law enforcement. I think women have a better ability to diffuse hostile situations without having to resort to force. There's just a whole list of things that women are much better at, generally speaking, than men are. And the organizations are better when we take advantage of the strengths of men and the strengths of women. And that's probably the best advice I could give somebody. And just be yourself.
And I can't think of a better place or note on which to conclude our interview. And we thank you, Sheriff Bill Gore, for spending time with us at iVow today and for joining us in this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.